Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and welcome to the weekend edition of the show. Always honored to do this journey with you. Thanks for listening today. Well, in a moment, you'll hear my conversation with evangelist Frank Shelton Jr. Let me tell you, he has got a passion for sharing the gospel with others. And I left this conversation so full of faith and inspired and encouraged. And I think you'll feel that same way. You'll hear that conversation in a moment. Just a reminder that this program is up on our website in podcast form at myfaithradio.com. Just have a few quick announcements for you first. Special shout out to our listeners tuning in Madison, Wisconsin, who listen in on Faith 1190. While we now have a FM translator in your area, you can hear us loud and clear 24/7. So check us out on the FM dial at 104.7 FM. Also, if you're brand new to Faith Radio, we would love to get a new listener welcome packet into your hands. You can sign up for free at myfaithradio.com. And I just want to say, welcome. We're super glad you're listening. Also want to tell you that if you're someone who loves social media, you can follow each of our programs online and watch the conversation with my guests, tweet it in real time. Follow me at Susie Larson and Faith Radio at My Faith Radio. And also, you hear this a lot if you listen often enough, asking you to be a radio missionary. What that means is just consider that if there's a program that has inspired you, encouraged you, chances are really great that that same program will encourage somebody you know. So with a click of a button, we've made these shows very shareable. You can send them out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. And we purpose to do that so that you can be a radio missionary. Usually within an hour after the live show, the podcast is up. And with a click of a button, you can send out the program by Facebook, email, or Twitter. So we just ask you, pause, prayerfully consider, Lord, who needs this encouragement today? Sometimes that person will already be obvious to you because they're so special to you and you've just had a recent conversation. But sometimes if you've bent an ear toward heaven, God will tell you somebody that you didn't expect. And that's, to me, what's exciting about the faith journey. You send it to somebody saying, you know what? The Lord put you on my heart today, and I was just thinking this might encourage you. I dare you to be a radio missionary. Step out in faith and see what God will do. Finally, one more quick note. We are partnering with the National Association of Evangelicals in hopes to see 1 million Christians praying on Sunday, July 10th, appealing to God in heaven that he would come and heal our land, that he would bring repentance, that he would bring humility, that he would open eyes that are blind. This initiative is led by the National Association of Evangelicals. If you want more information, you want to sign up your life group or your church, you can go to their website, nae.net. That stands for National Association of Evangelicals.net. But imagine 1 million Christians bowing our knees on Sunday, July 10th, appealing to God in heaven. When we pray, things change. So I dare you to pray. Check it out on nae.net. Frank Shelton Jr. is an author and speaker with a passion for sharing the gospel. He travels and shares his faith around the globe, as well as through his TV program, Hashtag By Faith, which airs weekly to over 15 million homes. He and his wife, Ruth, have two children. I love these names, Hannah Grace and Andrew Lincoln. They live in Southern Maryland, and we're honored to have them with us today. Frank, thanks for joining us.
Susie, I'm the fortunate one. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you.
Wow, you're so gracious. You can tell you're a Southerner.
Yeah, Mom raised us well, I'll tell
That's
you that.
Right.
But I'm a fifth-generation Washingtonian, so
wow.
Most people come to D.C. to work, and I joke that I was born to work here. So our family, born right on Capitol Hill.
My goodness. Well, we're so blessed to have you, and I have so many questions for you. I hope I can squeeze them in this hour, Frank. But we always love to start our conversations every single day talking scripture. I know you're a man who loves God's word. Is there either a life verse or just a particular passage you've been thinking about you can share with us?
Sure. Well, of course, Billy Graham said that the gospel in a nutshell was the most quoted New Testament, of course, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And like you, I believe Jesus is not a good way to heaven. He's not even our best way to heaven. The Bible's clear. He's the only way to heaven. But my life verse is probably 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor, that we through his poverty could be made rich. And that tells me, Susie, that the Lord had it all, lost it all, that we could inherit it all.
My.
And we don't get to heaven by our merits, but it's still by his mercy. So that's my life verse.
And what a beautiful, concise way to unpack that, Frank. That's exactly why we do this every single day. You just brought life to a passage. Somebody needed to hear that today, I'm convinced. And Frank, I'd love if you just to give us a backstory on your faith journey and when you first sensed the call of God on your life.
Yeah, well, I accepted Christ at the age of 7, and here's a word for someone. I believe God didn't only die to save us, he's dying to use us. And I got saved at the age of 7, and it wasn't at a mega church, it was a small country church. And here's another word for someone, I don't think nothing is small when we give our all to Almighty God. And I got saved at a church that ran 33. 9 of the 33 was the pastor's family. 5 was mine. So 14 of 33 was that country church. And the pastor stuck with the stuff. He never wrote a book. He never was invited at a preacher's conference. I don't believe, Susie, he ever spoke once more than 200 in attendance. But he lifted up Jesus in a big, big way. And when we get to heaven, he will be way ahead of the line than me. I'm just so thankful he served God in a big way. But having said that, I got saved in 1979 at a vacation Bible school. And 3 years later, 1982, at the same church, we had a contest. Whoever brought the most kids to vacation Bible school would win a prize. And I couldn't sleep for a week. And I remember thinking, what about if someone asked me a theological question that I don't know the answer? I'll make God look bad at 10 years old, or no one may want to hang out with me at recess, or no one will sit next to me in lunch, or they'll act like they don't know my name in the hallway because I'm a marked man if I recognize that I'm with the Lord. But I remember thinking, if he died for me, I'll try living for him. And they say that 8 out of 10 people would come to church if someone just invited them. And if they say no, they're really not saying no, they're just saying not now. And a denial is really just a delay. And plus, at least when their world falls apart, they'll remember that someone reached out to invite them. And so I got a few no's, but miraculously at age 10, 1982, at a church running 33, God used me at 10 to bring 22 kids to Vacation Bible School in 1 week.
Way to go, well, Frank. My goodness.
Well, my pastor told my mom in 82, she said, Sharon, the Bible says a child shall lead them. I didn't think it meant your son. And so I won the prize. And I'll tell you how God works, because in 1982, fast forward 30 years to the month, it's now July 2012, and I was named the International Evangelism Chairman of the 2012 Olympic Games Outreach in London, England. And now I'm not sharing with the friends. I'm with the finest athletes in the world. Gold is temporal. God is eternal. And we had the honor to share the gospel with present and past gold Olympians. And it's just neat that, you know, 30 years before, I was just bringing friends, and then now I'm sharing Jesus with the famous. And I tell people it's not an ego trip, it's a missions trip.
Indeed.
But the word of the day is, if you share Jesus when no one's looking, you won't chicken out sharing Jesus when everybody's watching.
Amen. Amen,
so,
Frank. Wow,
yeah, that's just been,
love it.
Yeah, and I wanted to go into politics, preach, or protect the president. My life's alliteration.
Yeah.
And I was blessed to pursue all three. So when you ask, I got saved at 7, but in July 2007, I left retirement, 401k, health insurance, a secure salary, after 20 years working on Capitol Hill in different politics. I walked away by faith to preach the gospel, and I really felt like God was whispering in my heart two things. He that wins souls is wise, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. And having been on both sides of the political fence, and we certainly need to pray for those in authority and love on our leaders, because leadership is lovely, but it's also lonely. But having said that, God is not coming back on Marine One or Air Force One. He's coming on a winning stallion in the near future. and I believe heaven, not hell, is the greatest party of all time. And we're just pointing people to the Prince of Peace because heaven is the party, and we're just trying to get as many people there before it's eternally too late. So I left a secure salary, and I left Washington. Didn't have a single booking when I left. And just in the last few years, I've now been blessed to be in 48 of 50 states and preached in a couple, probably a dozen and a half countries, and we're just trying to reach more. So praise the Lord, but when you step out by faith, God has a unique way of not only providing but promoting.
So good. So good, Frank. You know, I just served on a faculty at a Christian Writers Conference in California, and the big thing is for aspiring authors is you have to have a platform. And excuse me, I had so many people come to me, how do I get a platform? How do I get a platform? How do I get people to like me? And one of my classes was on platform, and I said, some of you aren't going to like what I'm going to say, but I got to say it. Instead of focusing on how many people you can get to like you, how about you figure out how many people you can show the love of Christ to? Because if you believe the Bible, and if you truly are a Christian, then believe his promises and be faithful in the lot that he's given you. And be faithful with what he's entrusted you. He's the great multiplier. But I think we get it so backwards under the guise of Christianity in this make a name for myself kind of society. But there are those who are looking like they're doing great things, but they've gotten themselves there. Like Revelation, one of the churches, you have an appearance of being alive, but you're actually dead. But then there's others who are truly thriving because they're living the abiding life. I'd love for you to speak to those two, you know, and make the distinction between the self-ambition and the abiding life.
Right. Wow, that's powerful. Well, number one, you're right. You can build a temporary platform on the flesh, but it will fail if it's not faith in Christ. And we really don't have to elevate our name. Jesus said, quote, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And what I love about John the Baptist, I joke the disciples were all in one accord. That's why they rolled in a Honda. But John the Baptist would have been a Toyota because he was the forerunner to Christ. Can I get an amen? But see, John knew he was just, he wasn't the way, but he was to promote the way. And what's neat is because John promoted Jesus, Jesus promoted him, saying, born of woman, there's no one greater than John. I really believe if we promote the Lord, he will promote us. But the bottom line is the world doesn't really need us. But I believe, again, God didn't just die to save us. He's dying to use us. But when we lift up his name high and people are drawn to Christ and his mercy and matchless grace and souls are saved through the blood of Christ alone, God does have a way to take us for the ride. And I just really believe we just need to, like Paul said, I die daily. But it's when we're willing to be last, God has an uncanny way to help make us first. And if you're willing, someone told me early on in my ministry, quote, if you're too big to do the little things, you'll be too little to do the big things.
That's right.
And I've also been told if you go after the folks nobody knows, God will introduce you to the folks that everybody knows. And there was a time in 93 I walked out with a bag lunch at the U.S. Capitol, and I was starving. And if I've ever heard the voice of God, the Holy Spirit said, give the homeless man your lunch, and I was starving. But I gave him my lunch. The very next day, I didn't realize, but God opened the door for me to meet one-on-one with then-President Bill Clinton. But because I shared the gospel with the poorest person in Washington, within 24 hours, I'm now sharing the gospel with the most powerful person in Washington. But you can't turn it on or off.
Amen. Talking to Frank Shelton Jr. about his book, Carrying Greatness from the Womb to the Tomb. More with him when we return. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Love that song. You know, Jesus, he's the hope of the earth. He's the hope of our nation, too. And as we humble ourselves and we ask God, search my heart, do a revival in my life, the ripple effect is amazing. Talking to Frank Shelton Jr. today, author of the book Carrying Greatness from the Womb to the Tomb. If you just tuned in, it's been so motivating so far. I'm excited for this conversation to continue. I want to just give a shout out again to our friends listening in on Faith 1290 in Hartford, Connecticut. Welcome to the Faith Radio family. We do this whenever we add a market, so I want to do this again today. If you're listening in from Hartford, Connecticut, email me, Susie at myfaithradio.com. And the first one of you to email me listening in from Faith 1290 in Hartford, I will send you a packet of books off of our Faith Radio shelf. Tell me a tiny bit about yourself, though, if you're a mom, a dad, if you're single, so I can kind of put a pack of books together that kind of match where you're at in life. But just as a welcome gift to say, so glad you're listening, so glad to have you here today, and excited to do this journey with you. So, Frank, I got to read this great quote from your book. You are destined for greatness, and the best is yet to come. Regardless if you believe it or not, you are indeed carrying greatness. Get a grip on God's great grace and get moving, because the world is waiting to see the real you. Talk more about that, what that means to carry greatness, and what God wants to do in and through each of us when we start to trust him and take him at his word.
Amen. Well, I've told my atheist friends, you may not believe in God, but God believes in you.
Amen.
And I just really believe, one, God doesn't make any junk, and two, he has deposited his DNA in us, so we're not only made in his image, we've been bought with a price. And in life, you can either carry greatness or bury greatness. I've been told that the wealthiest places in the world are not corporate America or boardrooms, but sadly cemeteries where too many people took their giftings and dreams and vision to the grave. And I just believe that instead of burying greatness, we carry greatness. And how the book was born, since I was little, when I mentioned I'm a fifth-generation Washingtonian, on my father's side, my father retired as the assistant chief of the entire U.S. Capitol Police. So out of 2,000, my dad was number two in command of all of Washington, D.C.'s police department. He protected six U.S. presidents, but my great-great-great-grandfather, we come from not a long line of preachers nor politicians. They were all policemen in the Shelton family in D.C. I think it's a record even with the U.S. Secret Service. My family has now protected the last 26 of 28 U.S. presidents. Hmm. And my ancestor, Joseph Gale Shelton, Good Friday, Ford's Theater, April 1865, 151 years ago, coming up in 2 weeks, was with President Lincoln the night he was shot. He was assigned two doors down, but it says in two obituaries that my ancestor was one of four men to get to the door and hand carry the 6'4" commander chief across the cobblestone street to the Peters house the night he died. And I thought, my God, he carried greatness in death. On my mother's side of the family, my great-great-grandfather, William Easton, was just months from retiring as the chief foreman, the head gardener of the U.S. Park Service. He had already put in 1912 for his retirement. In his mind, he was already gone. He was living in Georgetown, just that exclusive area from Washington. And he was asked, can you stick around for a little bit? We just got a goodwill gift, and we need you to plant these small seedlings. And one of the colleagues looked at him and said, quote, it seems so small. He's thinking retirement, and he decided to go ahead and stick around and do the assignment. One of the colleagues said, who will notice if you don't do your best? Let's just, you know, do a mediocre job and get in and get out. But he was never to do things halfway. And they said it was the coldest winter on Washington record that year, 1912. And when I was studying and researching for the book, I don't know what was worse, the cold climate of the capital city or the chilling complaints of a colleague's, because even criticism can be cruel and cold. And he got on his hands and knees, and you heard of whistle while you work. Well, he prayed while he worked in the coldest winter in Washington with the kerosene lamp. They almost didn't survive that first year. And what seemed so small, he planted what is now the iconic cherry blossoms around the tidal basin that 1 million people every March and April come. The gift was from Okinawa, Japan. And I'm glad he didn't fail, because the irony is what seemed so small at the start not only blossomed big and magnificent in D.C. circles, it became monumental. And everyone from paupers to presidents have been in awe of what he literally had to hand in planning on his hands and knees. So it dawned on me, wow, one of my ancestors on my father's side carried greatness and death. The other carried greatness and life. One was with the plant. The other was arguably with the greatest president. But they both held greatness in their hands. And I'm convinced, I know for sure, when they carried Lincoln, across the cobblestone streets on Good Friday 1865, he literally knew what he had in his hands. But with the cherry blossoms, we're not 100% sure, but I believe he knew that he was holding on to something great. And you don't have to have fame or fortune. I just believe God has placed greatness in every single one of us. And every time I get up to preach now, you know, Billy Graham would feel the same way, whether you're speaking to 100,000 or to 15. When you hold the word of God and it has a hold of you, you're not only carrying greatness, you're sharing greatness, because people need to hear that God loves them.
Wow, what an amazing story, Frank. We've got to take a break in about 2 minutes, but I want you to go a little farther with that point of the small, the obscure, because, again, in this platform society, we're like, yeah, I don't want that. It's like, I want the prize, I just don't want the process. But God, if you look again and again in Scripture, he pulls people out of obscurity. He finds them faithful when, as you say, nobody's looking, and he sees. And I often say, you know, heaven knows who's who in the zoo. You know what I mean?
I love that.
Yeah. And so talk about just the power of faithfulness in the small things.
Amen. Well, one, nobody is a nobody, but everybody is somebody.
Yeah. Amen.
And when I think of the feeding of the 5,000, what's beautiful, and it's exactly what you're saying, we still don't know that little boy's name. We see his enmity. We see his proximity. I've been told if you stay close and clean, God will use you. And his posterity. That day, 5,000 men acted like a child, but we have one unknown boy who acted like a man. And when they sat out, he stood up. And what I love about him, he gave God all that he had. And he was a lad who loaned his lunch to the Lord. He was someone's son, a stranger who submitted his sandwich to the Savior, and it was a boy who brought his bread to the bread of life. And I've always was told, if you want to get the attention of the Almighty and the angels, give God what you got. And even the lady in the sanctuary, when they were passing the offering plate, some gave in a couple hundred, some today was 1,000 for the building program. But there was an anonymous widow who saw the window of opportunity, and she threw in everything she had. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, they gave out of their abundance, their wealth and surplus, but, quote, she gave all that she had. So there was a lad, there was a lady, and then there was the Lord 2,000 years ago. He didn't give half, he gave his all. And God gave his all for us. I just believe from servants to celebrities, we need to give God all that we got.
So what's in your hand today? What is God asking you to trust him with? Maybe it's even soul unrest. Maybe it's an offering of time, treasure, talents. Would you trust him? Would you open your hands? Would you take the next step? Talking to Frank Shelton Jr. about his great book, Carrying Greatness. We've got two copies to give away. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put greatness in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. You'll go in a drawing. Two of you will get a copy of this very motivating, inspiring book. More with Frank when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Frank Shelton Jr. about his book, Carrying Greatness, From the Womb to the Tomb. It's got some history in it. It's got lots of scripture in it. So much inspiration. It's a challenge for us to live out our high call in Christ Jesus. I've got two copies. I'd love to get one into your hands. Here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to give Frank as much time, so I'm not taking calls today. Here's the email, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put greatness in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. You know, Frank, you said that though we're saved by grace, we can't obviously work our way to heaven. There still will be rewards handed out by God for the way we lived our lives on earth. That is a passage in Scripture that constantly speaks to me, challenges me, but you don't often hear sermons about it. So talk about the distinction between saved by grace, but we'll be called to account for how we stewarded all that God entrusted to us.
Amen. Yes, yeah, someone once said if you're trying to earn your way to heaven, you're getting a paycheck straight to hell. But having said that, we can't get to heaven by our works, but we will be rewarded because of our works. But I love when you think of third day, Christ arose on the third day, and the scripture verse you opened up with, my pastor's daughter actually married the guitarist to Jars of Clay, and that's where they got their name, these earthen vessels, just treasures in these basically jars of clay. But to answer your question, I love Casting Crowns, who was Group of the Year. They got their name. When we stand before Christ, the crowns that we've been given, we're still going to cast those crowns at Christ's feet. And so it's all back to him. But I love what Max Lucado said, that one day God's going to stick his nail-scarred hands through his heavenly robe and applaud that we've actually been arrived home. And it's just humbling to think. I've always said, if there's no gates of pearl and mansions made by the master, no celestial sea, if it's just Jesus in a folding chair, that will be heaven to me. But the fact that Christ is not only going to welcome us and love on us, but he's going to honor and reward us is off the charts. But it just goes to show you that heaven, not hell, will be the greatest party of all time. So we're just swinging for the fence. I love Babe Ruth. He led the league 1 year in home runs, but he also led the league in strikeouts same season. But at least when he was up to bat, he was swinging for the fence. And I think as Christians, twofold, we've either been saved so long we forgot what it was like to be lost, or two, we've been satisfied sitting on the sidelines when God calls us to get in the game for his glory. And there's a lot of mediocrity, and then there's ministry. And I just believe we need to do everything with greatness. And when you realize you're carrying greatness, you not only have a responsibility, but there's an urgency, because I was taught ministry without urgency equals catastrophe. And time is running out. And I think if we're not in the bottom of the ninth, we're in the top of the ninth. And we just got to be found faithful when the trumpet blows.
Indeed. To throw in another metaphor there, Frank, I often think about it as a tightrope with a net underneath, where God calls us to these heights, to these impossible things, to live so disproportionate to who we are that he does get all the glory. But when we, if we trip, we've got a net to catch us. And yet so many interpret grace, saving grace, they don't think of it as empowering grace, and they just lay in the nets going, you know, it's done, and I can just sort of hang out down here. And yet God calls us upward and onward, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Talk about that challenge for us and the invitation to be much with him, not, as you say, to earn our way, but because he's worth it.
Amen. Well, I think the sovereignty of God, you may be thinking something I've never said before, but the sovereignty of God to me is more of a trampoline, not a hammock to sleep in. And I just think it should catapult us beyond ourselves. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I just believe the world is dying to hear that Jesus loves and that Jesus lives. And, you know, when I also think of carrying greatness, Susie, what's wild is when my ancestor carried Lincoln, you've heard that, but my parents dragged me to see Elvis Presley twice at age five in 1977 in concert. I saw Elvis 10 concerts before he passed in August 77. And Elvis was known by billions, loved by millions. But my dad's roommate at the FBI Academy in 1978, 7 years prior, was not only a bodyguard and a friend to Elvis, he was asked by Vernon Presley to be the pallbearer at Elvis Presley's funeral. So the man who was known by billions, loved by millions, my dad's roommate from the FBI Academy, carried the casket of Elvis Presley as one of those honorary pallbearers. And I love Joseph Arimathea, because my ancestor, when he carried Lincoln, he carried the closest to the king of a nation we'll ever have, because the presidency is an institution, not an individual. But when my dad's friend carried Elvis, he didn't carry the king of a nation. He carried the king of rock and roll. And I've been to Golgotha, and I love Joseph Arimathea. And he went up boldly to Pontius Pilate and begged for the body of Jesus. And when you read between the lines, Joseph of Arimathea actually became a pallbearer from Golgotha, the place of a skull, to the garden tomb. And it hit me. These are the stories I've heard my whole life around the kitchen table. My ancestor in 1865 carried the king of a nation. My dad's friend in 1977 carried the king of rock and roll. But 2,000 years ago, Joseph Arimathea carried the king of all kings. And this is where the book was born. It is one thing to carry greatness. It's eternally different when greatness carries you. And that's where we ran with the book. And from the womb to the tomb, because if you see a teenage girl that has a child out of wedlock, you know, someone eloquently said, there are no illegitimate children. They were just illegitimate parents. But we should not gossip or talk behind that back, because in that moment, married or not, that girl, that woman is carrying greatness. And we believe adoption is greater than abortion. So that's why the front cover has a picture of a pregnant woman. But the bottom of the book cover is six U.S. Marines carrying a flag-draped casket at Arlington. And my nephew's godfather, my brother-in-law's best friend, my friend since high school, was named Marine of the Year. He did six tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. Master Sergeant Arian Torian, 2 years ago, had both legs blown off by an IED in Afghanistan. And when he was killed in action, they flew his body to Dover, Delaware. The military calls it a dignified transfer. And we are at Arlington watching a 21-gun salute with a Marine playing the bugle taps on a hill with tears coming down his face like Niagara Falls. And who gets up to speak at the eulogy is none other than Colonel Oliver North. And when they carried his casket, they weren't carrying America's trash. They were carrying America's treasure. And from the womb to the tomb, we all carry greatness.
Wow, what amazing, amazing stories. When you think about this idea, this charge that you issue in the book, Carrying Greatness, for us all to know, we carry this treasure in these earthen vessels so that we know the powers of God, not of us, and that he chooses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We see it all over Scripture. One thing Chuck Swindoll once said years ago is he said, people will cheer you till you get to the top, then they'll shoot you when you get there, try to shoot you down. You know, and something happens in and around a person who dares to trust God. Some are inspired by their faith, but others are jealous of it, and they start to look with suspicion and assign motives. And it just always seems that one comes with the other. So I want you to talk about that dynamic, because you got to continue on with a tender heart, but you got to develop a little bit tougher skin.
Well, that's profound, and that's good. And, yeah, I can certainly relate. Well, at Chuck E. Cheese, my 7-year-old loves to play this game called whack-a-mole, because as soon as one stands up, it's your job to knock it back down. But that may work at Chuck E. Cheese, but that's not how Christ intended the church. We're too busy shooting our own.
Yeah.
And I tell people, Susie, the reason I shop at Walmart is because when you preach the gospel, Target is already on your back. So you're a marked target. But, you know, the word jealousy, the last five letters of jealousy spell lousy. And I think it was Vance Havner said 99% of all criticism is rooted in jealousy. And I've been told if there's two people in a canoe, it's a scientific fact, the person complaining the most is rowing the least. And the Bible would rather have us be a cheerleader and not a critic. I asked Elvis Presley's stepbrother in my car one time. I had Rick Stanley, his mother, Dee Stanley, married Elvis's father, Vernon. I said, did Elvis have any critics? And he laughed. He said, when you're known around the world by your first name, believe me, you have critics. And I said, how did he handle them? And he said, quote, Elvis loved a quote that someone said, no monument was ever erected to a critic, only someone that did something. So I think, you know, we got to just tune out the critics, because we're going to stand before Christ. And Satan screams, but the Savior whispers. And we just need to be close and clear to hear the still small voice of the Master. Because when you hear from God, it doesn't matter what everyone else is thinking, saying, or criticizing. So jealousy is one thing, but honoring Jesus is everything.
Indeed. And you can see, even though we all are human and meanies are going to hurt our feelings at times, somehow, some way, we've got to break free from that bondage of others' opinions if we're really going to do everything God wants us to, because we can count on it that it's like gifting isn't enough to get us there. That's just part of it. The character is what keeps us there. And it's developed in the fire, I think, of men's opinion. I mean, even Jesus talked about, he knew it was in a man's heart. He wouldn't entrust his soul to a man. He loved men. He came to die for us, but he didn't put the weight of his identity in our hands, thank the Lord. And you said, you challenge us to view future criticism as a compliment and not a complaint. And you're for the right. President Ronald Reagan said, when you're kicked from behind, it just means you're out in front. And then you added, since most are too slow or small to compliment, they criticize instead. Throw a spin on it and keep walking forward, knowing you are on the right track. Remember, anyone can criticize, but it takes class and competence to create. Say more about that.
Well, yeah, I believe Jesus said, be careful when all men speak well of you. And I really believe if you don't have any haters on earth, you're probably not much of a helper for heaven. because I think we should view criticism not so much as enemies, but as friends we haven't learned to appreciate. Someone once said, your haters today can just be elevators tomorrow, not for you to get to the top and say, I told you so, but really sometimes it drives us to our knees. It makes us focus on God like never before. And just remember, what are we doing? Why do we do it? And who is it ultimately for? And when we can just die to self and look less like the world and more like the Lord, that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Talking to Frank Shelton Jr. about his book, Caring Greatness. Thank you, Susie, for your email. And let's see here, Bruce and Carrie, thank you so much. Would love to get your name in the drawing. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put greatness in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. You'll go in a drawing. Hey, if you're listening in from Hartford, Connecticut, make sure you'll let me know that. I want to send you a welcome packet of some great books off of our Faith Radio shelf. One final segment with Frank Shelton Jr. in just a minute. Having a great day today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Having a fantastic conversation with Frank Shelton Jr. The title of his book is Carrying Greatness from the Womb to the Tomb. And Frank, you know, a lot of years ago we were out to dinner with a couple and we were just bantering back and forth, but just talking about the call of God and our limits and all those things. And we came up with this very cliche sounding phrase to the point where we laughed because it was so cliche, but it really had profound meaning as well. And it's this: fill your space and run your race. And I felt like you wrote something similar when you compared your friend Olympian Joe Deloach, I think is his name, is with Mother Teresa,
yeah,
that we all have our different gifts. I want you to speak to that whole idea of filling your space, running your race, and not somebody else's race.
Amen. I love it. Yeah, we're in a race of grace. And
yeah,
what's interesting about that, because in track and field, and Joe Deloach was a gold medalist in the 1988 Olympic Games, he beat Carl Lewis, who was the Olympian of the century in Seoul, Korea. And Joe, him and I were at dinner in London one time. I had the honor to be his roommate during the Olympics. It was neat how God paired us up. And we were at dinner one night when we weren't preaching. And he said, Frank, whether you're in sixth grade or you were an Olympian, he said, do you know what happens if you accidentally step out of your lane in track and field? And I remembered my middle school PE teacher said, you get disqualified. And in ministry especially, we always think the grass is greener on the other side. And if that's not the case, because if the grass is greener on the other side, it just means there's a septic tank somewhere close by and it stinks. But Joe was telling me when he first got saved, my hero as a child was Dr. Billy Graham, and he loved Mother Teresa. And he said it dogged him for years that he would, you know, Satan would tease him, well, you're saved, but you'll never be just like Mother Teresa. And he lost sleep over it. And one night he woke up about 3 in the morning with the craziest smile on his face because God gave him a word and said, Joe, you may never be Mother Teresa, but Mother Teresa could never beat you in a sprint. And just run your race. And, you know, you don't have to have abs like so-and-so or a body like Beyonce or hit a golf ball like Tiger in his prime. Just let God use you, the giftings you have. And again, because when you carry greatness, we do God a dishonor when we don't swing for the fence and don't do our best.
So good. Frank, this is where that enemy so often accuses us, though, that not enoughness. And we may excel in one area of service and then fall down in another. And while it's true that God is always after just expanding our capacity for him and to serve him, we got to guard our hearts against thinking that we're this constant disappointment to him, because that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And suddenly, I think we get a wrong filter of how God views us, how he feels about us, if we're kind of punishing ourselves, when really it's the voice of the enemy who's constantly condemning us. Jesus is constantly interceding for us. So speak to that, if you would.
Well, someone once told me the reason your rearview mirror is smaller than your windshield, because where you're going is more importantly than where you've been. So when Satan reminds you of the past, we just have a God who intercedes, like you said, who reminds us of not only peace in the present, but hope for the future. But I would just, Satan is relentless. Jesus is the Lord, but Satan is a liar. Satan is condemnation, but Jesus offers conviction. Satan offers guilt. God offers grace. One comes from hell. One comes from heaven. And although they sound similar, they're worlds apart. And I just think we got to remember, that's why it's so important to stay in the Bible, go back to the basics, just get along with God, tune out the world. What does God say about you? And just remember another thing Joe the Olympian taught me. He said, Frank, I ran with the whole world watching, but I ran for an audience of one.
Mm.
And I think sometimes we just need to pull back, and sometimes less is more. And Jesus intentionally got alone with his Father, and that's why it's so imperative that we get alone with God, because until we get alone with God in private, we won't be much good in public.
Wow, so good. Well, talk to that person, if you would, who feels like the parade has passed them by. Maybe they're older and they feel like everybody wants the younger folks now, and or I never had the guts to go after my dream, and now I'm too old. I know you'd speak to that in the book, so talk to that person.
Yeah, well, I would just tell folks, you may be down or discouraged, defeated, depressed, got debt, maybe even a disease, maybe even know the stigma of divorce, but what's encouraged me, Susie, is you may, if you're not dead, my God's not done. And God loves encore performances, and he loves just showing up, not showing off when others walked out. And I tell people, if you think the parade has passed you by, ironically, you were just looking down the wrong street. If you pivot, that parade and the ticker tape and the confetti is actually coming for you. Not because you're so good, but because Jesus alone is God. And God uses some of his choice people, not only late in life, but sometimes after great loss. And my second book was called The Blessedness of Brokenness. And I used to think God uses the blessed, but he uses the broken the most. And so I love stained glass windows. I used to think they were expensive because of the colors. They're actually expensive because of the cracks in the glass. And when the light shines through the cracks, the colors explode. And the society actually sees the light more, not through our successes, but our setbacks and scars. And I was told the only man-made thing you'll find in heaven is the scars put on Jesus by you and I. So if Jesus isn't ashamed of his scars and setbacks, we shouldn't either. And God uses our messes and our mishaps and still even mountaintop experiences. But I really believe he uses our valleys even more than our victories to draw people to Jesus.
Indeed. Well, Frank, we've got about 3.5 minutes left before we wrap up and pray. But I'm thinking of how often when we are in that season of obscurity, wilderness, and we feel like the ship has sailed, that parade has passed us by, we can misinterpret that season. It's most times, if not all times, as a Christ follower, a season of preparation, of readiness, where God purifies our motives and reaffirms his love for us. But if we misinterpret that time, we get an attitude, we get offended with God, and as Bruce Wilkinson said, he wrote Secrets of the Vine, he said, we thereby put ourselves back under the discipline of God just because we've misinterpreted his ways with us. I'd love for you to talk about how avoidable that particular season can be, not the wilderness, but that putting ourselves under his discipline if we could just trust that he's good.
Amen. Well, you know, I really believe that's the whole thing comes down to faith, and I really believe with all my heart, God doesn't just call us to keep the faith, but share the faith. And whenever we feel discouraged or depressed, one thing I like to do, Susie, is go to the senior citizen home, and the greatest blessing is being a blessing. And when you begin to focus on other problems, your problems don't seem so big. And I just really would like to leave your listeners with, and what an honor it's been to be on your show. One thing I didn't even mention in the book, my mom shared with me, that the name Shelton comes from England, and they were also law enforcement over there. But would you believe my ancestor from England was actually one of the Queen of England? She was married to Henry VIII, one of his like 8 or 9 wives, and he was actually married to her twice. But what's wild is I'm not royalty because of blood on earth, but because of the blood from heaven. And I want to encourage your listeners, all of us, as kids of the King, are royalty. Not only do you carry greatness, but you have not only potential, you not only have purpose, you have amazing power. And I just really believe if we would just surrender and submit, our ways and our needs and our goals at the feet of Jesus, because what he wants for us is better than what we could ever dictate ourselves. And when we get out of the way and promote his way, I tell you, that's when life gets rich. So about the parade passing you by, it's not. But here's the thing. God loves you. But the thing is when you make much of him, he's already made much of us. And I would just encourage you to step out by faith. We don't do a service to God by playing small. God wants us to have big faith. And I tell people, I'm not on an ego trip. This is a missions trip. And we just need to go back to seeing souls saved, because time is running out. And what keeps me up at night, Susie, 9 out of 10 Christians will live their whole life never once leading anybody to Jesus. And I believe most of us have enough of Jesus to get us to heaven, but not enough of Jesus to keep a best friend out of hell. So when you carry greatness and greatness carries you, he wants us not only to keep the faith, but the Bible tells us we need to share the faith.
Wow, Frank, this has been very, very good, challenging, thought-provoking. As we get ready to wrap up, I'm wondering if you would pray for our nation, as you do every day, I do every day, many of our listeners do. We need Jesus. We need a revival. We need a change of heart. Would you pray?
Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of prayer. It's been said when we pray on our knees, we can stand before any man. Having worked in Washington, I found prayer is even more powerful than the Pentagon. And Father, I just pray that you would embolden us to just encourage us to live for you, lift up your name. And souls need to hear of the wonderful name of Jesus. Oh God, be with our leaders. Everyone wants to change the White House, but Father, we need to clean up our own house. And Father, I just pray that you would just help us be close and clean. Here am I, send me, Lord. And God, I just pray that you would just, when people see us, whether at work or Walmart, when they see us, they'll see a glimpse of God. Oh God, help us share our faith. Help us invite folks to Christ and the local church. And I just pray that you would do a revival in our hearts, in our community, in our country, and even the continents, because Jesus is the only way to heaven. Oh God, help us just lift you up like never before. Be with our neighbors. And God, do a revival in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Dear Frank, I pray you'll join us again sometime. Fantastic conversation.
It was my honor, and thank you for your ministry, Susie. Mm-hmm. You are the best.
Oh, bless you, sir. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of this program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be sure to share this conversation with a friend who would be strengthened by it today. You can do that by clicking the share button under the audio link. Take some time to browse our website as well for new articles and content about growing in your faith in Jesus Christ. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.